dun 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 dun. It's Jasmine. Dun 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 dun. You're here with Jazzy. Just joking. That is definitely not going to be my intro. But I gotta tell you, I've tried to do this like 5 times now. It's either been a trash truck, a lawnmower. It has been the dogs barking. I mean, literally. So here I am. Boom. 8 a.m. Monday. On July 17th, I gotta start telling you guys the dates because my things are coming in weird. If you guys saw my last episode, I have to tell you that was like last month's episode, so I don't know why that came in the way it did, but I should have another episode that came in last week coming in with this one if it's not already here. I have no fucking clue, but what I do know is they schedule weird. Ever since Anchor went to Spotify, yes, you can record longer, and yes, I can do video, but the difference is it doesn't export the way that it's supposed to. It's very interesting. It's like, it exports like it's from Anchor, which now is called like Podcasters or something. I have no fucking clue. But anyway, nonetheless, it's just been hectic. This morning has been hectic, and this podcast shit is becoming hecticer. And I apologize, my throat's a little cracky, and my nose is a little runny. So if I over here, that's why. So I apologize, because sometimes people think that's really rude, but you know, you can't help when someone's sick, guys. I don't know if I'm sick or if I'm having like my late summer allergies popping in again. It's literally been like, you guys, it's been very stressful for me, and I'm gonna update you guys on everything too, because my health has been a little fucking asshole too. It's not just my mental health, it's my health too, and sometimes they go hand in hand. Like since I have like fibromyalgia and I have IBS, and because I have fibromyalgia, it is considered a chronic disorder, and it's considered a chronic fatigue and pain. And sometimes, like, literally, I could be like in all this fucking pain and stuff, and then like all of a sudden my sciatic nerve acts up, and when my sciatic nerve acts up, is girl, you don't even know. Okay, it's just a lot. And yeah, anyway, I'll update you guys. Right now I'm actually just waiting for my doctor's appointment, which is like next Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. So I'll keep you guys updated, but there is some shit happening. I'm thinking that I'm having blood sugar issues. Last time I went to the doctor, they told me that I was pre-diabetic. Since then, I've switched my diet. I've exercised. You don't even know. I've done so much shit, but it still feels like I could probably be looking towards the direction of being diabetic. I'm not saying I need insulin or anything like that. At least I hope not. But I don't think so. But I will say that my blood sugar has been acting up, and I have symptoms of like diabetes happening. My endometriosis, as you all know, I had a hysterectomy like 4 or 5 years ago. And anybody who knows about endometriosis, it doesn't go away. Just because you get a hysterectomy, it doesn't go away. It can come back at any time. I also had PCOS, polycystic cyst ovary syndrome, or whatever the fuck it's called. I probably just said that completely backwards, but you get what I'm trying to say. And because I have one ovary, and that's the only thing in my reproductive system that I have left, I'm still very susceptible to being able to get that. And with that being said, it can actually make your endometriosis worse. Because I don't have a reproductive system the way that I'm supposed to. Ugh, girls. Girls. That's what I just want to say down there sometime. Like, vagina, ovary, come on. Girls, get it together. Because I don't have 2 ovaries. That's why I say vagina and ovary. Anyway. Yeah. It has just been, guys, it's been chaotic and hectic, and I've just been going through some shit. So I'll update you guys on that when I actually go to a doctor and talk to somebody and see what the fuck is going on. Because, yeah, it's, I have a lot to say. I really do. It's been quite a weird couple of years for me with my mental health and my health. And in case anyone is wondering, in case the other fucking episode that I posted last Tuesday, I believe it could have been Monday, but I think it was Tuesday. Anyways, I posted that fucking thing and it didn't show up, and it's ended up posting a whole nother thing, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? But anyways, the point is, thank you for bearing with me and being here with me. I love you guys so much, and I love your support, and I appreciate it so much. It's, thank you for coming along with my fucking weird journey, because it's just an intense journey, and I've grown so much over the last few years of starting this, and I'm still trying to grow, but when I say grow, I don't just mean, like, followers, and I don't mean social media, and I just don't mean my podcast period. That made a lot of sense. In time, I mean, like, I have spiritually, mentally have grown, and the love that I was receiving, I didn't understand it, and now I'm just at this point where I'm just so appreciative of a lot of things, including the love, mostly, because it was something that I had a hard time accepting in my life, and now that I'm accepting it, I love it, and I love you guys, and I love your support, and when I do post on social media, I love the comments that you guys send me. I love the messages that you guys send me, and you reach out, and you ask me questions, and you just want to know about me, or how you say that I inspire you to tell your guys' story, or you just appreciate the fact that I am bold enough to tell you my story and my experiences. It's not been easy, I'm telling you. Mental health and mental illnesses are two different things. Mental health, everybody has to deal with mental health. You wouldn't have a brain if you didn't deal with mental health. You know, because that's just like everyday stress and just everyday anxiety that you may be receiving. And then you have people that are like me, who have bipolar disorder, or you have schizoaffective disorders, you have ADHD, you have autism, I mean, things like that. And that's where the mental illnesses come in too. So anyway, I just wanted to take the time to just tell you guys, I appreciate you guys so much, and that I'm glad that you reach out to me on social media, and I'm just thankful for you guys, because when I first did this, I just did it to do it myself, and, I had these all set to private, and it was mostly, like, kind of like an audio diary for me to look back on in case I went through a weird phase with my manic or into psychosis, and I could look back on these things and be like, holy crap, yeah, I can relate to that right now, and this is what's happening right now, and this is what I need to talk to my therapist and psychiatrist and doctors and etc. So, and then one day somebody told me, you know, you have such an interesting life, and you have gone through so much shit that I think that you should just write a book. And I started to write a book, and I started to write a book in, like, I think it was like 2017, 2018, somewhere around there, because it was pre-hysterectomy. I remember that. Actually, I think it was the year of my hysterectomy, so like 2017, yeah, 2018, somewhere around there. And I was gonna write a book, and I had it all set up that I was going to write a book about my life, and I was going to write about my life having mental health and mental illness issues, and how it was growing up for me, and what it was like having friends, and just all sorts of things. And I was like, I don't know. But as I was writing it down on this notebook, and by the way, I still have the notebook, and I'm still going to write this book. It's still in the making. Things have changed since then, like marriage, divorce, you know, children, so I have to definitely re-add some stuff, go back, change some stuff, you know, delete some stuff off of it. But anyway, I was writing this thing, and I was like, as I was reading it, and at the time I was married to my husband, who's my daughter's father, and I was going through a really fucking hard time with him, because he's a narcissistic alcoholic, and he was just very mentally abusive, and I just didn't have the motivation to do what I wanted to do. And I really, really wanted to release a book, so I started a page for my book. I told people, I like wrote things and I put it out on social media. Like, the year was, picture the year 1968 in Des Moines, Iowa. There were my parents, blah, 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 you know, and it was in it. I let people know, and I put in like childhood memories that I was sharing with people, like my best friend growing up, what it was like being with her, when I wasn't religious and she was super religious, and we were two different people, like weight wise. We were just totally polar opposites, but we were best friends and sisters, you know. And I wrote, had all this stuff out, and I was getting so much positive impact on it that my husband at the time just kept mentally and emotionally being so abusive to me that I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do. So I wasn't able to get it out to the world the way that I wanted to. So I discontinued it, and I said, until further notice, I don't think now is the time. And then like a year later, I released some more information because I had such positive feedback on it. And I was like, yeah, I mean, literally my whole life, everyone's told me that I should write, that'd be a good writer. Since I could remember, writing and reading were my two favorite things to do. And yeah, so I was like, okay, I'm back. We're going to do it. This is going to be the year that we self-publish a book. And it's going to be my first book. It's going to be about my life. It's going to be about my bipolar disorder. And then my husband, you know, our marriage was starting to fall apart, and he was just getting more and more angrier and more abusive with the alcohol. And I was like, I don't think right now is the time again. So I re-released a thing saying, it's not the time, guys. I don't feel comfortable, but when I feel comfortable, I'll release it. And then I left my husband, and there was a lot of shit that happened in like the first year of leaving my husband. I almost feel it like my first year after leaving my husband, it was worse being without him, dealing with him, than being with him, if that makes any sense. Because once I left him, he became even more mentally and emotionally abusive, and he used everything he could against me, like my mental health, and was saying I was such a bad parent because of my mental health. I left him because of my mental health. I'm just exaggerating my mental health. I'm just a faker. I'm a hypochondriac. I mean, literally, it was one thing after another. So that first year was really fucking rough. And here I am 3.5 years into it, being away from him. And I'm in a very healthy relationship with someone whom I very much love and wouldn't be able to do this without him. And he, my boyfriend currently, is who I really give 100% of my credit to, because he is my rock and he is my everything, and he is my best friend, and he's just helped me through so much, and he just every day inspires me to do better. He's always like, I know that you're capable of writing more if you just got your blogs out there and you tried harder. I know that you would be good and successful. If you could just get your podcasts out there, you'd be successful. And you know, he's always just very positive about things with me. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you guys, because that's where the podcasts come in. And yeah, I just decided to do it one day, and here I am. And I believe it's been 3.5 years since I've started this with you guys, this journey of podcasting, which I really suck at, and I'm working on it. It's just, I'm stubborn, and it's my way or the highway kind of thing. Anyway, today's topic is about what are bipolar disorders. If you're not aware, there are three different categories of bipolar. There's bipolar 1, bipolar 2, and I think it's called symptomatic or something disorder. I don't really know how you say that. Psychoth? Symptomatic? Symptomatic? I don't know. I believe that's where you cycle, is basically. Anyway, we'll get into it, but I think what I'm trying to say is this, because I'm saying the freaking word wrong, psychothematic or something. I think that's where you cycle between up and down and down and up, etc., with mood swings. A lot of people always ask me, like, what are the bipolar signs, and what exactly is a bipolar disorder. So anyways, bipolar disorder is a brain disorder that causes changes in a person's mood, energy, and ability to function, right? People with bipolar experience intense emotional states that typically occur during distinct periods of weeks and sometimes days, and it can be a long time, guys. And these are called, like, mood episodes, which they categorize as manic and hypomanic. Where manic, and I'll get more into depth into this, by the way, but manic is where you're abnormally happy, irritable. I would say that manic is where you feel like you're God himself. Nothing can touch you. You're hot. You're sexy. Ain't nobody gonna be as good as you. Ain't nobody as better looking as you. You spend a shit ton of money. You drive recklessly. You're reckless with your money. You're like, you got that credit card that's got a $5,000 limit on it, and you're like, shit, I can spend $8,000 of it, even though I got $5,000. So next thing you know, you're bankrupt. But you can also get really irritable during this time because of the fact that you're so up, you have all this energy inside of you, and you don't know what to do, and that's where the anxiety comes in, and the racing thoughts, and intrusive thoughts, I should say. And that's where the irritable mood comes in. Unlike hypomania, which is hypomanic, which is basically like the depressive and sad side, this is actually the most dangerous side of bipolar because of the fact that people go a little bit longer with it and they're more tuned into suicidal thoughts, suicidal idealization, or maybe even suicide. It's actually very dangerous to be in the hypomanic than it is in the manic. And then, of course, there are people with bipolar disorder that also have, like, periods where there's a neutral mood, where they're just fine and they're not spending their money, they're behaving right, they're not having too much anxiety, they're not depressed, they're not spending amount of money, they're not getting in trouble with the law, they're not out having wild, unprotected, unsafe sex. But when you have bipolar disorder, you can be treated. And by that, I mean, like, there's medications, there's therapy, there's journaling, there's classes. I mean, the list goes on of things that could lead you into potentially having a full and productive life, because not everybody is going to be sad and depressed and suicidal, and not everyone's going to be anxious and stuff. There are ways to calm those things down. And of course, I'd like to point out that it's not just people with bipolar that obviously have mood fluctuations. Women on their periods, women that are pregnant, you've had a stressful day at work, maybe stressful week, maybe you got evicted out of your house, maybe you only have like 5 days to get out of your house. I mean, there's also so many things in real life, not to say that bipolar is like fake, but like in real life experiences too with people that your mood fluctuates. It's not just bipolar. Now, these mood changes typically last hours most of the time rather than days. So you can literally just be like, it's 8 a.m. Fuck the world. I fucking hate everybody and I fucking hate myself. And then that can like go on for like a couple hours and then you can just be like back to normal. So they fluctuate. It's not just literally like I'm going to be like this forever. There are instances though where you can be very sad for days. You know, it's not just like, hey, I'm gonna be depressed for like 2 hours today and then tomorrow I'm gonna have anxiety and then the next day it's gonna be 5 hours of depression. No, I just want to point out that's not how that works at all. So yeah, with that being said, about the mood fluctuation thing and changing about hours to days. They're usually also occupied by some kind of, like I said, extreme behavior change and difficulty in your daily routine and social interactions. So a lot of people with bipolar disorder demonstrate during mood episodes. So for me, when I'm in my hypomanic state of mind, I don't want to be around anyone. I isolate myself. I don't want anyone to talk to me. I usually turn my phone off. I just don't want to answer the door. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to get out of bed. I just have a hard time even wanting to deal with my child. And then, with that being said, bipolar can disturb a person's relationship with loved ones, and also can be difficult working and going to school. For me, if you guys don't know and you're new here, I went to school, and I'm not kidding, 3 or 4 times for medical assisting, and I could not do it. I went straight after high school, like right after I graduated, I went right into college, and I was only 18 at the time, by the way. And for me, my anxiety was really, really high. First of all, I wasn't driving, so I had to get rides, and sometimes I was being carpooled, so some of the ladies in my class who lived by me would come pick me up and we would go to school, or their husbands would come pick me up. It was just, they would take me home, etc. And that was very stressful for me. These ladies were a lot older than me most of the time. Like I said, I was 18 at the time. Most of these people were between 21 to 30. And it was a very, very weird, awkward and uncomfortable for me. They were married. They had kids. I couldn't relate to them because I was 18 out of high school and they've already been living their lives, working like as secretaries, or I never had a job yet, up to this point. And anyway, that was my first year of medical assisting, and I ended up dropping out because it just ended up being too much for me, because I got socially awkward for me, and I wasn't able to do it. I freaked out about everything. My first job was at Starbucks. Actually, no, it wasn't. I would call it my first real job. And my first job that I actually did was like a linen place. And that's where like a lot of the Comcore / I just got out of jail people would work. Or they were Hispanic and they didn't speak a lot of English. You worked in a factory, and basically the cloths, napkins that you get when you're like at a restaurant, I was literally dry pressing those motherfuckers all day long. So I don't really like to say that as my first job, so I always come in with Starbucks. But anyways, Starbucks was really hard for me. I was in a process of where I was hypomanic and I was really sad and depressed and very suicidal. I actually slit my wrists to get attention from my employer / boss. I didn't know. I told her that I had fallen on my bike when she had asked me. No, I literally slit my wrist the night before, and I had cuts up and down my legs, my arms, all sorts of things. Anyways, she let me go due to that, but I couldn't handle it because I was depressed all the time. Like I said, I was sad and I wanted to just kill myself. Around that time, I went back to medical assisting. I was a little bit older. I was like in my 22, somewhere around there. Couldn't do it. This time it was the depression. First time around it was the anxiety. This time it was depression. Me being suicidal, it was not a good idea. At the time I was also a little bit manic, where I was spending a shit ton of money that I didn't have. I was actually getting into a lot of legal trouble, smoking a lot of weed, doing a lot of pills, drinking excessive amounts of alcohol. I got arrested twice. Ended up in the mental hospital around this time. It was a lot. And then my last time going into medical assisting, which was 2020. I applied in 2019. This was pre-COVID, pre-pandemic. But the pandemic really, really fucked my anxiety up a little. I'm a big germ freak, so COVID really fucked me up with my anxiety. And being trapped in the house the whole entire time kind of gave me, I can't think of what that disorder is where you can't leave your house because you're scared of everything, being like doomsday. I can't think of the proper term for it. But I developed that. I developed some really bad anxiety, but I pushed through and went to school. And I was actually, at the time, it was a 12-month program, and I was at my 8th month. So I was like right around the corner to graduate. But the pandemic, it was just too much. My class went from like 20 people to like 3 people a class. We were only going once a week. Everything else was online. And just, we had to do blood draws. We had to do vaccines. And when I say vaccines, we were not shooting people up with like the flu shot or anything like that. It was just saline. But anyway, it was, you have to do so many blood draws, like in a, you have 6 weeks per class, and within that 6 weeks, every one of those 6 weeks, you have to do more and more blood draws. That's blood draws from your hand, that's blood draws from your wrist, that's blood draws from, you know, your arm. It was just becoming a thing. You had to learn how to do IVs, you were doing urine tests, you were doing EKGs. Literally at this point, it was just too much. I was too stressful. I was going to the bathroom multiple times and just fucking crying. And I wanted to push through it because it was something I really wanted to do, to find out that me and medical maybe not be a good thing. I wanted to actually do medical for like holistic living. So we'll get into that eventually. But yeah, so when I say that it's very difficult sometimes for working in school, I just wanted to just share with you my personal experiences as a bipolar, that is very hard sometimes for me to work. And that's why I don't work now, and I haven't worked since like 2008, because like at an actual job. That's why I enjoy doing the blogs and I enjoy doing the podcasts and stuff, because I can't socialize properly without my anxiety kicking in really bad. Bipolar is also a category that includes 3 different diagnoses, like I said, which is bipolar 1, bipolar 2, and the psychosomatic, I really can't think of what that word is, but psychosomatic or psychosomatic, I don't know, something like that. And an interesting fact that a lot of people don't know, that bipolar is actually commonly something you can inherit, and it runs through families. Like 80-90% of individuals with bipolar actually have a relative that's living with bipolar or depression. So for me, I have a father who's schizoaffective and manic. I have a mother who's bipolar, which is where the manic comes in. I have a brother who's manic. I have another brother with anxiety disorder, and I have a sister with anxiety disorder. So where does it come from when it comes to me? It's definitely my mother's side. So what I'm saying is, it all you need is a sibling or your parent to have bipolar, and you most likely have a high chance that you could get it. Bipolar is also an environmental factor, which is, you know, stress, not sleeping well, the drugs, you know, the alcohol, which obviously can trigger any kind of mood episode or just make people vulnerable. There's also very specific cases of bipolar within the brain that we're not clear of. We just know that it's an imbalancement of brain chemicals, which is just basically believed to lead to a dysregulated brain activity, which is also interesting, is that the average age for onset of bipolar is 25 years of age, but in most cases it can show up when you're younger. For me, I would say it showed up in my teenage years. I just wasn't diagnosed until I was an adult. And most people with bipolar 1, and we'll get into what that is, also have, like, other mental disorders, which, that's like I was saying, like, the anxiety, the substance, like, the drugs, the alcohol, or maybe some kind of attention deficit, hyperactive, like, ADHD is what I'm trying to say. And they're at the risk of suicide is significantly, I don't know why I said that weird, higher, with people with bipolar 1 than, like, for, say, like, the general population that is just depressed or having anxiety. So with that being said, bipolar 1, you guys, is diagnosed when a person experiences the manic episode. And we'll get into what a manic episode is, too. And basically, during a manic episode, people with bipolar 1 experience an extreme increase of energy. Like I said, they feel on top of the world, or they're uncomfortable and irritable because of it. Some people with bipolar 1 also experience depressive or hypomanic episodes. And like I said, I'll get into the hypomanic and manic episode, what that looks like, the symptoms and stuff. And most people with bipolar 1 also have periods of neutral moods, so they're just like, okay. They can go like weeks and be okay before they get sad or hyped up. So the symptoms of bipolar 1, like I said, is the manic, hypomanic, and major depressive episodes. Now, a manic episode is a period for at least 1 week of a person who is extremely high-spirited or irritable for most days. And that's where they possess more energy. And they have to have at least 3 of these changes in their behavior. And that would be decreased need for sleep. And that's, like I said, you don't feel like you have to sleep because you're so high on the world and you're like, brrr, just like everything is just going 100 miles per hour in your head. And usually you don't need to sleep that much. So increase the faster speech. Like I just said, you're just talking really, really fast and people can't understand a fucking word you're saying. Uncontrollable racing thoughts, or quickly changing ideas or topics when speaking, which that's literally what I do. And that's where the ADHD comes into play. Which is funny to me because I do that all the time. I could be like, on one story, let's say I'm talking about my bipolar. I'm like, today I had a really bad day with bipolar. Oh, look at that cute little dog. That kind of stuff. You just change it and you're rapidly just like going like this one time after another. You're distracted easily, which is another thing that happens with me. Your increased activity, and that's where the restlessness comes into, and you're working on like 100 projects at once, which that's what I do. I like blog, and then I go into my podcasting, and then I start writing in my notebook about stuff, and I'm like, I literally have all these ideas and I don't know what to do with them. And also increased risky behavior, which would be like the spending sprees, driving recklessly, basically just doing illegal things, drugs, alcohol, increasement. It's just things like that. But these behaviors must represent a change in the person's unusual behavior to clear to friends and family. Symptoms must be severe enough to cause a dysfunction in work, family, or social activities and responsibilities. Symptoms of a manic episode commonly require a person to receive hospital care to stay safe. I've had hospital stays. I've actually have put myself into the hospital a couple of times because I was going through a manic episode. And I felt very unsafe because I was drinking a lot, doing the alcohol. I was getting in trouble with the law a lot. Yeah. And so with that being said, that most people that are experiencing manic episodes have disorganized thinking, false beliefs, and maybe hallucinations, which is known as a psychotic feature, which we'll get into what the psychotic feature is, because that's a whole nother thing that goes into it. So the next set of symptoms of bipolar 1 would be the hypomanic episode, which is hypomanic episode is categorized but less severe manic symptoms that need to last 4 days in a row rather than like a week. So really they don't last as long. For me, when I'm hypomanic, they can actually go, because I'm not very as hypomanic as I would be, say, manic. And so when I'm hypomanic, which is where the depression leads into, I get really fucking depressed, and they can last for like 3 months for me. Last year, it was half a year for me to go through a hypomanic episode. But that can, you know, basically just lead into major problems with your daily functioning. It's a lot like manic, except for you're depressed. You don't have the anxiety. And then, of course, there's major depressive episodes, which has to at least be like 2 weeks. And you have to have 5 of the following symptoms. Intense sadness and despair. Let me just talk about this real fast. I actually have been diagnosed with major depressive episodes. And I will just, for me, it looks like doomsday. Everything is just bad. I can't do anything. I'm worthless. I can't get out of my bed. I'm literally crying about everything, and I have no idea what the hell I'm crying about. So that would be like the intense sadness and despair that I'm talking about. For me personally, loss of interest in activities the person once enjoyed. That would be me, like my blogging and writing. I cannot for the life of me concentrate on it. I don't know how many blogs that I have in my draft, to be quite honest, because of that. You can have increased or decreased sleep. For me, when I'm depressed, I need sleep. All I want to do is sleep. And that also goes with your appetite. It's either increased or decreased. For me, when I'm depressed, I eat a lot. When I'm when I'm hyped up, I tend to not eat as much. But when I'm depressed, I eat a lot. I also have an eating disorder, which goes in with my bipolar disorder, I believe. Restlessness. That would be like you talking very, very slow. And walking really, really slow, you know? You have difficulty concentrating. Like I said, for me, it's, I can't do my blogs. I can't do my podcasts. So many things are in both of them that are drafted out because I start them and then I just can't fucking concentrate. And so I just say, fuck it. And I stop it. And then I just never go back to them sometimes, but I'm working on that, I promise. And then, you have frequent thoughts of death and suicide. That's where suicidal idealization comes in. And for me, suicidal idealization is more of a thing than it is me actually trying to commit suicide. I often think about death a lot. For me, I thought that was normal. To be quite honest, I thought because I was very dark in my mind that I thought that that was very normal to think about death a lot. Because, I mean, let's be honest, who the fuck doesn't think about death, okay? But the point is I literally thought that's what I thought. I thought it was normal, but no, it's not. But I've thought about suicide and death a lot. There's been times where I could be like in a car and I'll be like, babe, do you think you would get hurt or die if a car was going like 10 miles per hour and you were walking in the middle of the street? What do you think that would feel like? And that's where my weird thoughts of death would come in. There are treatments and management, like I said, for bipolar disorder. Medically, they say that most symptoms are commonly improved with treatment, such as medication being like the cornerstone of the bipolar treatment. But you can also do it like through talk therapy, which is psych therapy, or psychotherapy is what I meant to say. And every time I hear psychotherapy, I don't know. I don't think of like talking. It just is a weird word. Psychotherapy is a weird word. It just sounds like you're talking to a bunch of serial killers and psychos or something. I don't know. I think they should definitely just call it talk therapy. But also that can help patients learn about, you know, their illness and about medications and how to prevent future mood episodes. Most common medications that people use are mood stabilizers. Most common are lithium and Depakote. I've used lithium. You've got to be careful with lithium because it's actually in your blood system and it can cause you to have toxic levels and it can actually kill you or put you in the hospital or permanently give you brain damage. Me, I've been on Depakote on and off most of my, since I was a teenager. And I'm going to get into my story about that to you guys too very soon about my experience on medication, specifically on Depakote, and how it affected me. Not just like mentally, but physically. I believe that it really just fucked me up a lot. But they do say that there are certain medications like that that are believed to correct your imbalancement in your brain. Because, unfortunately, bipolar is a chronic illness. So that means typically your mood episodes can reoccur over and over and just be ongoing. So they are telling you that basically you should keep ongoing treatment. Because a lot of people will be like, oh, for me, I chose to get off medication for a reason. My health, my physical health was a big thing for it, actually. Medications, psych medications really actually have permanently fucked me up in certain ways, health-wise. That's why I chose to get off Depakote, which, by the way, has also fucked me up. And like I said, I'm going to tell you my story about medications coming up because I would like to tell you about my experiences with that. I have to go into depth with that, but I have literally had physical, mental problems of being on medications. So for me, I chose to be off medications, but some people who are severely depressed will wake up one morning and be like, oh, I'm okay. And this is by being bipolar. I'm okay. I'm fine. I don't need my medication. So they don't take the medications. And then a few days along the line, it can be somewhere two for people and sometimes a week for another. They're like freaking the fuck out and they're suicidal again and they're depressed again and crying. So they need, and then they take the medicine again and they're fine. So I'm not saying everybody should just fucking get off their medications. That is not a thing that should be happening. But what I am saying is, for me personally, I got off medications for health reasons. It's just, I don't know. But I do have to say that treatment and management, and I really want to talk about this because in some cases, when medication and psychotherapy may have not helped someone, they may offer something what they call a more effective treatment known as ECT. If you don't know what that is, that's electroconvulsive therapy. And I have my thoughts on this too, but this is where they use several rounds of electricity that they apply to your scalp while you're under anesthesia, which can basically lead to a short controlled seizure. An ECT-induced seizures are somehow believed to remodel the brain signal pathways. Now, people have been doing this since the fucking beginning of time of mental health. Back in like the 20s and the 30s, this is where I believe where it started. And people were actually dying from electroconvulsive therapy. So I'm just going to call it ECT now because it's such a word. But people were dying from ECT because we didn't know much about it. And they were just shocking people's brains. And to think that they use electricity currents while you're under anesthesia is nuts. Anyways, electricity back then, before they could figure out how much volts they could use on your head, people were dying. Like, literally, people were dying from this. They were bleeding from their brain. Now, I've seen cases and I've known people where it works, but I wouldn't highly, highly recommend that no one gets an ECT. No matter how bad you feel like you are, I would not recommend it. There's so many side effects, permanent side effects that can happen, like brain damage, all sorts of things that could happen. Because you guys, basically they're using less electricity to make you have a seizure, and that is not normal to have a seizure. How that fixes your brain, I'll never know, because seizures just fuck you up naturally, right? So how the fuck can a seizure, electricity, make you feel better? I don't know. With that being said, though, bipolar can also cause serious disruptions in someone's personal life and create a very stressful situation for family members. And with that being said, family members also may benefit from, like, you know, professional resources, particularly mental health advocacies and support groups for those sources and families, you know. With that being said, I'm going to have to make this part two, guys, and start going into bipolar two with you. I'm at my maximum of recording. Happens every time. I love you guys, and stay tuned for part two. Brown cow. I'm back, guys. This is part two of me talking about bipolar. If you missed the first part, please go back and listen to it, titled Bipolar One. Part one, I meant to say. Anyways, I was talking about bipolar disorder, my experiences with being bipolar, as I was kind of being descriptive of what bipolar is and how we have bipolar 1, bipolar 2, and symptomatic, I'm saying the word wrong again, disorder, which in recap for you guys that may have just came in, we're talking about how bipolar is a brain disorder that is caused changes in a person's mood, energy, ability to function. People with bipolar may experience intense emotion states and typically can last for days to weeks. And we call those your mood episodes. And I was talking about bipolar 1 disorder, which is when a person experiences a manic episode. And during a manic episode, you may experience increased energy and feel on top of the world, uncontrollable, irritability, and you also may experience depressive and hypomanic episodes, and where sometimes also your moods are neutral. With that being said, I was talking over how manic episodes give you decreased need for sleep, talking faster, feeling like you're on top of the world, and how you have hypomanic episodes, which are basically like manic episodes, but more of the depressive side, which then led us into dun 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 major depressive episodes, and how you have intense sadness, fatigue, decreased sleep, difficult concentrating, and often thoughts of suicide and depression. We were talking about treatment and management and how you can improve. We were talking about ECT, which is electroconvulsive therapy. That is where you are under anesthesia and they put these little round things on your head and put electric currents in your head to give you a controlled seizure. And somewhere along the way, they say, quote unquote, that it will help, but I highly don't recommend it. Please look into electroconvulsive therapy, guys, though, for real. It's a very, very fucking scary thing. And I actually, maybe we might go into depth on that one. So here we are. Guys, I've had a lot of coffee and it's kicking my ass. Bipolar 2 disorder is where we're into now. So bipolar disorder 2, guys, it's so weird how they categorize it as 1 and 2. How do they do that on that note? Like, how does that, I don't understand how that's even a thing that even works or functions. It's like, I have bipolar 1, I have bipolar 2. Y'all, it's just bipolar. It's just a mood disorder. I don't know why we just categorize it in three different things. Anyway, with that being said, bipolar 2 disorder, you are required to have at least one major depressive episode and at least one hypomanic episode. So as I said, that means that the hypomanic episodes are the manic episodes, but more depressing. But with that being said, you still need to have some kind of decreased need for sleep, feeling energetic. You're talking hella fast that no one can understand. Usually, this is where the uncontrollable racing thoughts or changing ideas and topics when speaking is a thing and being distracted is a thing. And then I would definitely say, as for the manic depressive episode side of the bipolar 2, that I would say is a big thing would be the intense feeling of sadness and despair, feeling worthless, feeling the need to either sleep a lot or not sleep, feeling the need to eat more or not eat at all, just being really tired and slow and just having a hard time concentrating. And when I say restlessness, I mean like you're super slow, you're not going fast, you have very, very slow speech. And I'd also definitely put the frequent thoughts of death and suicide into bipolar 2. Speaking of, I am categorized as bipolar 2. And they don't, when you're in medical, they consider it manic depressive. I think they call it manic depressive. They might call it hypomanic depressive now. I really honestly have no fucking clue. I just know that I'm bipolar 2. So like I was saying, the diagnosis of bipolar 2 requires to have at least one major episode of depressive disorder and one hypomanic episode. And these people who are going through this, such as me, people return to their unusual functioning between episodes, which with people bipolar 2 disorder often seek treatment as a result for their first, you know, depressive episode. That would be like your medications and going to a therapist. Since hypomanic episodes are often very pleasurable and can increase performance at work or school, so basically you're kind of in like the fucked situation. You're either really energetic or you're really sad. It's just for me, and that's exactly how it is for me. I'm either very hyped up or I'm sad, and there's no in fucking between for me. There's no neutral for me. I don't go days where, I guess if you met me in person or know me in person, it may seem that I'm in a neutral mood, but realistically I'm either very, very irritated or I'm hyped up. And then there's occasionally, and when I say occasionally, I don't get depressed easily, and so when I am depressed, it's very, very bad for me. But when I am depressed, it lasts a long time for me, unlike my manic state, where I'm typically more manic and hypomanic than anything. I fluctuate between manic and hypomanic, so sometimes it's more intense than other days, but I deal with more anxiety than I do with depression. And with my first depressive episode, I was probably about 16, and I wanted to take my life, and I slit my wrists. And I remember blood dripping down my wrists, and I was very, very sad. And I just felt like there was no hope for anything. But I also remember at this time, I was very angry, and I would, like, just scream. I would pull my hair. I've slapped my face. Guys, I've went to as far as hitting my face, like, punching myself. This is when I was younger, before I could control any of this. I would punch myself in the face because I'd be so pissed. And I'd be like, this is what you do to me. Fuck you. Fuck you. And I would just keep punching my face until I have a black eye or a big ass bruise. So there's definitely, I just want to point out, a big difference between bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. I can function better in ways than I would say like a bipolar 1 person does, because I have a lot of people I know personally are bipolar 1, and I feel like I do a lot better than them in certain ways. And that's not my ego of my hypomania, by the way, talking. It's just, yeah, when my anxiety is high, I'm very pressured to feeling like I can do anything and everything, and I, like I said, I get really hyped up, and I have a really big ego, I'm not gonna lie. But, yeah. So people with bipolar 2 disorder frequently have other mental illnesses, such as anxiety, disorder, substance use disorder, or a ladder, which that's where you get the depression and hypomania together, which I've gone through. That's what I went through last time. And that also leads into psychosis, which we'll get into too. But, yeah, I would definitely say I have, like I said, more anxiety. And I used to have a really bad substance issue where I would just take pills. And I'm not just saying, like, okay, let's just take one or two Xanax and we'll be okay. And then 4 hours later, one or two more. No, I was taking Xanax all day, every day. Benzos and opiates. I was taking all sorts of shit. I was taking the drug that killed Michael Jackson. Let me just put it that way. I was also taking, not just Xanax, but I was taking things, like I said, like benzos. And so I was just, it was a bad time for me. And I guess I gotta have this conversation with you guys too and kind of get into detail on like what that looks like substance. For me, I got really depressed. I was super fucking depressed one day. Now what I'm going to say, I'm not trying to trigger my fellow potheads out there into saying that weed is a gateway drug, okay? I'm not saying weed is a gateway drug. But I am going to say this. When I was 16, I tried alcohol for the first time in my life. I didn't so much like it at the time when I was 16. I was like, pfft. But when I tried weed, I loved weed. I was mellowed out. I was happy. I was on top of the world. I could concentrate. And I was like, oh yeah, this is fantastic. How come this is an illegal thing? I mean, there was times where I'd be in class where I was just stoned off my ass. And at the time, I had the start of my eating disorder. And weed actually saved my life on my eating disorder, where I actually... where I was actually able to maintain a healthy lifestyle, I should say. But I don't want people to come at me and think that I'm saying weed is a gateway drug. That's not what I'm trying to say. But it was not enough for me. It was not enough. Eventually, I got used to it and I just lost the high and I needed more. And then I got introduced into pain pills because I had my tonsils removed. And, I got hooked on pain pills because of that, because I was just in so much pain. I got my tonsils removed in my 20s, and it's harder the older you are, and the recovery is a lot slower and a lot more painful. And with that being said, I was just having a hard fucking time. Just a hard fucking time. And so I would just take the pain pill whenever, and there's sometimes I was just taking them to take them because I was like, oh, I like feeling high. I don't really know how that happened, but I know, you know, opiates and pain pills, that's what they do. So then I started taking Xanax because at this time too, I was having a lot of anxiety and my doctor prescribed me Xanax. And I was taking so much Xanax. It literally really did start with, okay, I'll take the half a pill today. And then in 4 hours, if I need it again, I'll take it again. And I would take the other half, and then that half ended up being a whole pill, the whole pill ended up being two pills, the two pills ended up being three pills, etc., etc., until I literally was taking a bottle of Xanax a week, sometimes two bottles of Xanax a week. At this time, opiate crisis was not a big thing in the doctor's eyes, and so they were just giving it to you like candy. Now, if you get Xanax or something, they usually give you, like, 15 pills for, like, 30 days. Back then, they would give you the whole 30-day supply plus another script for a refill. And that's how it was. I was just getting refill and refill. So I'd go to the hospital or I'd go to the doctor and I'd say, my anxiety is just really, really bothering me right now. And I would play like I was having all these problems. In reality, I just wanted to get high. And so, for me, when they say that people with bipolar usually have substance use disorders, I'm one of them. Like I said, too, with anxiety. There are treatments which are very similar to bipolar 1, obviously, which is the medication and the psychotherapy. Again, most commonly, you use medications, mood stabilizers such as lithium, such as Depakote for the mood stabilizers, but they usually add in an antidepressant, which is depending on this, you know, specific symptom. They can also give you an antipsychotic in there too. And again, they can give you something for the anxiety. Literally, there's a fucking pill for everything. It's ridiculous. Oh, so you're moody. Here's a mood stabilizer. Oh, you're having anxiety. Here's a benzo. Oh, you're depressed. Here's an antidepressant. Oh, you know what? I really feel like you're just not doing all well. Here's an antipsychotic. It's just fucking ridiculous. But anyways, there's like, most of the time you end up on like, let's be honest, 6 or 7 fucking pills if you're on any medications to regulate your bipolar disorder, guys. So obviously it just depends on your specific symptoms, but if your depressive symptoms are more severe and the medication may not be working, again, they suggest that you do the ECT, which I highly just, guys, it's not normal to get electroshocked and be put in a seizure. That's not normal. There's something not right about that. And there's just so many things to back up what I'm saying, scientifically, medically, and personal experiences from people you hear, you know, it's not. But of course, as any kind of mental health problem or mental illness, each person's treatment is obviously individualized, because yeah, you may be bipolar 1 and you may be fucking depressed, but your friend who's also bipolar 1 may be the energetic side, so you guys aren't the same, you know what I'm saying? Your mother may be hyper, you may be depressed. So that's why you have to be individualized and not categorized as you're just bipolar 1 because your mother's bipolar 1. No, it's not. I feel like the best treatment for me with being someone who has bipolar 2 is talking is a big thing for me, and my blogging. And when I say talking, I mean like I've mentioned in the last episode, my boyfriend is like my everything. So talking to him and just telling him what's going on, or just being able to just say, let's just say my dad pisses me off. Dad, I'm fucking pissed off at you because you're being a dick and it's hurting my feelings. Like, and I'm not saying I pissed at my dad at all, by all means, but I'm just saying, like, an example. Like, I just have to say it when I feel it, or else I can't. I tend to be more aggressive and mean-sounding because of my irritability, and I tend to be very mean and say really mean things, and I don't mean to. It just comes out that way. With that being said, we're going into symptomatic disorder. You guys, I really just apologize. I'm probably butchering the shit out of that. Someone's like, what the hell is a symptomatic? Because I sound like, I don't know, when I think of symptomatic, it sounds like I'm saying symptom, but I think it's like thematic or something like that. I'm really sorry, I'm fucking butchering it. But if anybody who's curious to correct me, I do know the spelling is CYCLO THYMIC. If someone could correct me on how the hell you say that word, that would be cool. So we're just gonna call it symptomatic. But I think it's like cyclomatic or something like that. Anyways, it's like the mild form of bipolar disorder, which involves lots of mood swings, hypermania, and depressive symptoms, which may occur frequently for most people. And most people with cyclomania, mythia, and I'm all tongue-tied on this word, guys, may experience emotional ups and downs, but they're less severe symptoms than, like, for say, bipolar 1 and 2. The symptoms of that is that for at least 2 years, you may have many periods of hypomanic or depressive symptoms, but the symptoms do not meet the criteria for hypomanic or depressive episode, which would make sense because, you know, you need to have, like, this happening all the time. For me, like, my major depressive side it'll last for like ever, and my anxiety is like a daily thing. 2-year period of symptoms including mood swings. So 1 minute you're like, I'm so lovable and I'm on top of the world, fuck you, you stupid son of a bitch, I hate you kind of thing. That would be the mood swings. And they have to last at least half the time and have never stopped for more than 2 months. So that's the difference. Like, bipolar 1 and 2, you are constantly, like, in a fucking vicious cycle. For me, I'm called a rapid cycler. So 1 minute, I'm manic, and that goes on for, like, a week. And then it'll stop, and then I'm depressed for, like, a week. And then it stops, and then I go back in, I'm manic for a week. It literally, it's just a fucking terrible thing. Anyway, the treatment for psychomanic, I can't, you guys, I'm so fucking tongue-tied on this word. But anyways, it can involve medication and talk therapy as well. Most people, talk therapy will help them, obviously, with their stress and mood swings. And you can keep a mood journal. It may be an effective way to observe patterns and mood fluctuations. You may start and stop the treatment anytime for them. So, I personally just don't... I don't know. It's crazy to me. I don't know. Oh, and also while I'm here, I would like to give you the phone number for the National Alliance of Mental Health Illness. It's actually, I think, National Alliance for Mental Illness, on Mental Illness or something. Anyways, it's NAMI. NAOMI. NOMI or NAMI, I don't know. I've heard it by so much. But you guys, the hotline is 1-800-950-6264. You can also go to the National Alliance on Mental Illness's website. If you just Google in NAMI, like I said, which is NAOMI, you can go on there and it gives you resources. There is a hotline you guys can call, and there's texting available that you can talk to someone if you're struggling with your mental health. I highly suggest them. They also have really just good resources that they can link you to locally to where you are. That could be therapy, that could be groups, somewhere to see a psychiatrist, somewhere to just go to therapy. So I really highly recommend that you resource out to them if you're looking for any kind of help, because yeah, it's just, it's very interesting how, for me, like, I don't have a lot of help in my community for mental health, and it's just it's a good fucking program, guys. I don't know what else to say, because it's just that, I don't know, I recommend it. And also, while I was on it, I wanted to have a conversation with you guys about the psychosis issue. This is a severe mental disorder. And that's like, which thought and emotions are impaired and contact is lost with reality, your internal reality. It's a lot. It's a combination of symptoms and it really can impair relationships with reality. I'm telling you right now. Personally, last year, I went through psychosis. First time in my life, I didn't even know. And by the way, you don't have to be mentally ill to have psychosis. Anybody could literally go through psychosis. I believe there's like a 3% chance that all Americans will experience psychosis at some point in their life. So, I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not something that you just... I'm bipolar, I have psychosis. I'm schizophrenic, I have psychosis. It's not like that. So psychosis is an experience in which a person loses touch with reality. People experience psychosis may have sensations that are not really there, such as hearing voices others can't hear, they also may firmly have held beliefs in something that is not even right. It's basically false. And after being confronted with evidence of falsehood, they kind of get like, that's not true. 100%, I'm telling you, the aliens are real. I'm using that as an example. Okay, I'm not saying the aliens aren't real. I'm just saying that's like an example. People just like go out of reality. But basically, like, the definition of psychosis is there are lots of multiple characteristics and stages in psychosis, which itself can be a whole thing. I would like to point out that psychosis is not a condition in itself. It's just rather more of an experience or a symptom for somebody. It can happen on its own. You can just go into psychosis. But it's a big part or a larger illness. And a lot of people that are schizophrenic end up with psychosis. People with bipolar can go into psychosis. Normal people without mental health, like illnesses, can do it. But I would say that the hallmark characteristic of psychosis is difficulty in probably interpreting of what is real and what is not real. And that's why schizophrenia is a big thing into this. But people experiencing psychosis can have other symptoms. They have nonsense speech, inappropriate behavior, social withdrawal, difficulty in overall functioning. They can't deal with life in general. They can't. It's very hard for them. You can get help with treatment, though, I will tell you. And like I said, I'm just saying this because schizophrenia is like the big part of psychosis, but anybody can go through this. But like certain psychotic disorders, like schizophrenia, for instance, it may come in stages with different manifestations, and each, my tongue is grumbling, with each stage. It just depends on where they are in their stage on how you can know that you have it. So I would say like the early signs, they will overlap, okay? I just wanted to just tell you guys they overlap. And it's not just like, I don't know. It's not something that just, like bipolar, you're either bipolar or you're not bipolar. These symptoms literally overlap themselves, one over each other. Like you're like looped. The warning signs that you should actually see a healthcare professional would be difficulty thinking clearly, difficult concentrating, a drop in school or work performance, spending more time alone than usual, neglecting self-care or personal hygiene, feeling suspicious or uneasy with others. That can be where the paranoid comes into. You feel like people are watching you, you feel like people are trying to kill you. That is a big thing for psychosis. People are out to get you is a big thing. When I was going through psychosis, I really thought everyone was trying to hurt me. And by hurting me, it was either mentally wanting to hurt me or physically hurting me. People were stalking me. People were staring at me. And this was, in this case, that was not happening, by the way. That's just what they're talking about when they're saying suspicious or uneasy. You're neglecting your self-care and personal hygiene. For me, I wouldn't brush my teeth. I didn't want to take a shower. I didn't want to brush my hair. I just didn't want to get out of bed. You have strong inappropriate emotions. And that could be almost where Tourette's comes into, where you're just like screaming out cuss words inappropriately or saying inappropriate sexual things and you don't mean to. Difficulty just not knowing if what you're living in or feeling is real or fantasy. For me, I literally felt like I was in this dream. And within that time, that's where my depression kicked in. And I literally could vision, like I would be cooking dinner, for instance, and I'd be stirring something in a pot. And literally, I put my hand on the burner and I just keep stirring. And my boyfriend or someone like my child will freak the fuck out. And I just keep stirring it because I did not know if that was real or if I was just in kind of some kind of own world. You have confused speech, and a lot of times it's just hard to communicate. And if that's what you guys are feeling, I would recommend that you go to a professional just to get things checked out. And some early signs of your first episode of psychosis. Again, they'll overlap, which are very similar to like the early warning signs. But your sensory experiences like hearing, tasting, and seeing are commonly feeling, or less commonly feeling or smelling things that aren't real. So, I smell smoke, it's not there. I smell flowers, they're not there. Did you hear that? What she said? The hallucination is a big thing. Social withdrawing from friends and family, strong inappropriate emotions, or literally not feeling a damn thing. For me, I was numb. Sudden decline in self-care. 1 minute for like a week, you're good, and then all of a sudden, boom. You're done. I don't want to change my clothes. I don't want to shower. I don't want to brush my teeth. I don't want to brush my hair kind of thing. That's how I was. Strong, persistent, unusual thoughts and beliefs that are false. I literally had a thing with religion with this. Mine was religion, which is also a big thing with psychosis. I was convinced that I was talking to God all the time. And yes, I do pray and do talk to God that way. But I literally thought certain people were God, and I thought other people were the devil. So that's what I'm saying when I, that's a good example of it, about falseness. And you just can't fucking concentrate or think clearly. There are some positive and negatives, like the hallucinations and the delusions. Delusions and hallucinations are very different. Hallucinations are like hearing and seeing and tasting and smelling something that's not real. And usually for people, visual and audio hallucinations are very common. As in for delusions, that's where you start losing touch of reality. This is a big thing, and this is where you start believing people on TV are sending secret messages and thinking someone of great importance is, or godlike paranoia. Delusions are real, guys. Been there, done it. Like I said, the great importance of God, you just start preaching about it and you think that you are God himself sometimes. And you think that you're being spied on. I went through this. It's just very crazy. But, you know, they think those are positive symptoms is delusion, and I don't understand that, because I don't understand why you would think that you false idolizing yourself as God is a positive psychosis thing. Or thinking that people are sending you secret messages through the TV. I'm not sure how that's positive, but you know, it's whatever. But you know, the more negative, what they consider negative, is your changes in mood, substance use, difficulty sleeping, suicidal thoughts and behaviors, as in anything. If you or anybody else, by the way, is having suicidal thoughts, you can now dial 988, which is the Suicide and Crisis Life Hotline. You can actually call it or text it. And that's just if you're feeling suicidal and you want to talk to somebody and you have no one to talk to. It's a great resource that I highly recommend. But if you or a loved one is in danger, please call 911. Like, don't even mess around with it. I love you guys so much. With that being said, like I said, psychosis can come in multiple ways. You have schizoaffective disorder. It can come from substance-reduced psychosis, which is basically withdrawing from drugs and alcohol. And that may be an unsafe way of withdrawing, where you just quit it cold turkey. You can get postpartum psychosis, which, you know, after you have a child, I had postpartum psychosis, which is crazy. You can have a delusional disorder, which I believe goes into schizophrenia. I don't know a lot about delusional disorders except for schizophrenia. Or you could have like a brief psychotic disorder, depression with psychotic features, schizoaffective, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder are all things that are related to having psychosis. And I think the next thing that I'm going to talk to you guys about, not in this episode, but the further in the next episode, probably tomorrow, is psychosis for me. Because when I was having my mental health breakdown, I don't even know what was happening. And I never had psychosis before. And it's very scary if you're not really sure. But I mean, it was a very extreme experience for me. And I would like to really have a conversation with you guys about psychosis. Because for me, it was, yeah. But also, I just want to point out to you, for people that are going through psychosis, it's not just mental. You can also have physical problems. Something such as, and anybody, this would go with anybody, but if you have like something like epilepsy, Parkinson's disease, dementia, obviously psychosis would be a big thing. You can also have it with MS or lupus, so autoimmune disorders. A thyroid disease. Just not eating healthy and having something such as a vitamin B deficiency. Not enough electrolytes. And it could be a genetic thing too. Like I said, substance like alcohol, medications can go in there. Sleep deprived. If you're deprived of sleep, obviously you can go into psychosis because that's where delusions come into. Something like a traumatic brain injury, like such as a stroke too, brain tumors. And something as big as HIV could put you into psychosis because it's such a intense disease as it is. And I believe you would probably definitely go through some kind of psychosis. I would think that, how could you not go through something psychotic? And then, of course, like delirium, which is basically a state of mental confusion, which can go into a serious physical illness. Brain toxicity, which you can get from lithium. And, you know, the risk factors, actually, believe it or not, genetics, psychosis, and several other mental health conditions, of course, can run in families. I did not know psychosis could go into it, but I do have a story to tell you about my grandmother, my dad's mother, and her being schizoaffective, my father being schizoaffective with manic, and then there's me, and there's my mother with bipolar disorder. So I kind of would like to break down that to you, because just my grandma itself on my dad's side is enough to maybe understand what goes on in my life a little bit. But genetics and brain chemistry, you can actually most likely get this when you're a teenager or a younger adult, compared to like being older. My father didn't experience his first psychotic psychosis until he was like, I think he was in his 30s, which is very late for someone to have a psychotic breakdown like that for the first time. But it's crazy, guys. I really feel like we need to have a conversation about that, because my God, last year was really rough for me. And with that being said, psychosis is nothing to mess with. Mental health is a serious thing. And like I said, I really urge people to reach out to Naomi, and to the suicide hotline, because I was really lost and I was by myself through most of this. I had support of my boyfriend and support of like my father, for instance. And I was seeing a therapist, but I actually stopped seeing a therapist because I thought my therapist was trying to do me more harm than help. I was on medications. Again, I felt like the medications were doing more harm than good. They did help my brain for a little bit, but then, like I said, I've had many health issues since then. And that is why I chose to get off the medications. And honestly, I do feel like I am living my better life right now than I was, like, last year around this time. This time last year, I was very suicidal. I was crying every morning for no reason. I'd go to bed crying, wake up crying. Literally, every fucking day I was crying. 3 to 6 times a day for no reason. I had no idea why I was sad. I'd sit in my room, and I was just so numb. And I was so out of reality. And I was hallucinating, and I was very delusional. And it was rough. And I never, ever, ever want to experience that again. At the time, I was under a lot of stress, and I think that's probably what triggered it. On top of that, I was going through a very extreme depressive, I would say probably hypomanic depressive, like just cycling through it. And I was going through a very bad depressive time, and with the stress added to it, it put me in psychosis, I believe. I don't barely drink at all anymore. If I do, it's like a glass of wine with my boyfriend, which is very rare. And, or I'll have like a margarita with my mom during lunchtime. Again, very rare situations, but, just, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with, and it's very scary. And if anybody who's ever gone through anything like that, you're not alone. You're absolutely 100% not alone. And, I encourage people to reach out for help in places like that that are needed. With that being said, I'm about to get cut off again with time. This is getting ridiculous. I'm trying. If anybody knows, like, a better place to do my podcast that will last longer, that I could export them over to here, please let me know, because I'm really struggling really hard with that. I just don't have the time to look into that, but, I just don't have the knowledge of technology. So, and I know that's really weird, because according to everybody, I'm a millennial, because I was born in 1986. I don't fucking think I'm a millennial. I think 90s babies are millennials. But anyway, with that being said, I don't know anything about technology. And I mean, I was just like barely a teenager when technology started coming out, being a bigger thing than it is now. So if anyone could help me with that, that'd be cool. If there's like software that I can use, or a different program, or just anything in particular to help, that would be really cool. Again, if you guys are interested in my social media, to keep in contact with me, I have a link tree linked in my bio. Please go check it out. You guys can find me on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I have my work phone number on there, my work email on there. Reach out to me. I would appreciate it. And I love you guys all. I'm sorry I have to talk a little fast now, because I am running out of time on recording. It's so stupid how they give you like 60 minutes, but they've been cutting me off anywhere between 40 to 45 minutes. They're like, your time is running up, and then it literally cuts off. So anyways, I'm literally at the 42 minute mark, so I'm gonna go. I love you guys so much, and we will talk soon. Have a fantastic week. I know it's Monday. Mondays suck. But try to have a fantastic day. And I love you all so very much. Bye.